Welcome to Hockey Whiz Talks podcast. Today, I'll be doing an early season NHL preview. In this podcast, I do a very early season preview and make some predictions and make some standing predictions by division. Looking at the team on paper, the Toronto Maple Leafs should be the best team in the Atlantic Division, with a top six that features Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitch Marner, and William Nylander, as well as Tyler Bertuzzi and Max Domi, whom they signed in free agency. The Leafs seem to be gearing up for a deep playoff run. They also have a third line which consists of David Kampf, Matthew Nys, and Kalle Järnkrok. Their defense is also pretty loaded, with a top four that consists of Morgan Rielly, TJ Brodie, Jake McCabe, and John Klingberg, along with Mark Giordano and Timothy Liljegren on the third pair. The Leafs should have the same first power play unit as they did last year, but the second unit should be much more improved than last year, considering they are adding Max Domi, Tyler Bertuzzi, and John Klingberg to it. Ilya Samsonov and Justin Wall should be the goalies for Toronto this season. They should be a solid tandem in net during the regular season, however how well they fare in the postseason still remains to be seen. Even with Matt Murray and Jake Muzzin on long-term IR for the full season, the Leafs are still $2 million over the cap. They need to make a move to get under the cap by the start of the season. The strengths for the Toronto Maple Leafs is their offense, scoring, and depth. The weakness for the Toronto Maple Leafs is their defense and goaltending. After the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Tampa Bay Lightning should be the second best team in the Atlantic Division. With virtually the same core of players, Tampa should still remain a formidable force in that division. They still have their core players with Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos, Braden Point, Victor Hedman, and Andrei Vasilevskiy. Mikhail Sergachev emerged as the key fixture on the defense last year, but the key fixture on defense really is Eric Cernek. If he misses time, the Lightning defense simply is not the same, because that would force Zach Bogosian to a bigger role, or it would force a younger defenseman that may not be ready for that much ice time into a bigger role. Besides their core forwards of Nikita Kucherov, Steven Stamkos, and Braden Point, they also have some good supporting forwards such as Anthony Cirelli, Brendan Hagel, Connor Sheary, Nick Paul, and Tanner Janot. Their depth is obviously not as good as it was in the past, and their fourth line is a far cry from what it was when they won the Stanley Cup, but it should still be a formidable energy line for them. Jonas Johansson is penciled in as the backup to Andrei Vasilevskiy. That shouldn't be a big deal considering he's only penciled in to play about 5 to 10 games this year. The strengths of the Tampa Bay Lightning are their core players and their playoff experience. The weakness for this Tampa Bay Lightning team is their lack of depth scoring and lack of defensive depth. The Florida Panthers look to be the third best team in the Atlantic Division, with the Boston Bruins looking to be worse this year and Buffalo and Detroit not quite there yet. Starting in goal, they still have Sergei Bobrovsky, and Anthony Stolarz is a pretty good backup. Then you also have Spencer Knight, who was in the Players Assistance Program. If he is able to return and take the workload away from Bobrovsky, that will allow him to stay fresh for the playoffs. The Panthers added a bunch of defensemen in free agency, including Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Dmitry Kulikov, Nico Mikkola, and Mike Rielly. They joined a big three in Florida, which includes Aaron Ekblad, Brandon Montour, and Gustav Forsling. You can't exclude Josh Mahura either, who played an important role on the defense last year. There are two star players to focus on for the Florida Panthers, Alexander Barkov and Matthew Tkachuk. They split them on two different lines. Barkov plays with Reinhardt and Evan Rodriguez, whom they signed in free agency, while Matthew Tkachuk is playing on a line with Sam Bennett and Carter Verhaeghe. Anton Lundell, who was the 12th overall pick by the Panthers back in 2020, is entering his third season in the league, and the Panthers really hope he has his breakout year offensively. He will be centering a line, Eetu Luostarinen on his left and Grigori Denisenko on his right. But Grigori Denisenko is not fixed in that position, because it's possible that Nick Cousins plays there, or another player that impresses out of camp takes that position. The strength of the Florida Panthers is their offensive depth and their goaltending. The weakness of the Florida Panthers is their defense and their power play, which struggles to connect at times. The Boston Bruins, without Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, should be the fourth best team in the Atlantic Division, because now they have to play Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle as their 1 and 2 centers. And that's just not going to cut it in that division. Although you could get away with playing Zaka with Pasternak and Marchand, you can't get away with playing Charlie Coyle with Jake DeBrusque and James Van Riemsdyk on the second line. As if it couldn't get worse, the Bruins' offensive depth is amongst the worst in the Atlantic Division. They feature names such as Morgan Geeky, Trent Frederick, AJ Greer, Milan Lucic, Patrick Brown, and Oscar Steen, none of which really contribute offensively that much. If there is any reason to be optimistic about this team, it's because of their defense. They have one of the best defensive cores in the league, featuring a core that consists of Charlie McAvoy, Hampus Lindholm, Matt Grizzlick, Brandon Carlo, Kevin Shattenkirk, and Derek Forbert. They should still have the same two goalies as last year, with Linus Ullmark and Jeremy Swayman. Those two should also do a solid job in net. Without Bergeron on the first power play, it will be a big adjustment, because he does all the little things, and Zaka just can't really fill those shoes yet. The strength for the Boston Bruins is their defense, goaltending, and the fact that they have Pasternak and Marchand. The weakness for the Boston Bruins is their offensive depth and center depth. Although there will be a couple teams vying for that fifth spot in that division, ultimately I think the Ottawa Senators will prevail. They have a pretty lethal top six, which consists of Tim Stützle, Brady Tkachuk, Josh Norris, Drake Batherson, Claude Giroux, and Vladimir Tarasenko, along with a third line, which is centered by Shane Pinto with Dominic Kubalik on his right and Ridly Greig on his left. Not to mention a really heavy fourth line. Their defense is also pretty good, with a top four which consists of Thomas Chabot, Jacob Chychrun, Jake Sanderson, and Artem Zub. Eric Brännström and Travis Hamonic play on their third pair. Jonas Korpisalo and Anton Forsberg are going to be the goalies this year. Korpisalo is one of the more underrated goalies in the league, and he is accustomed to facing a lot of shots. He will flourish with Ottawa. It could finally be the year that the Ottawa Senators finally break out and start vying for a playoff spot, but ultimately, it may be too tough to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. The strength of the Ottawa Senators is their offensive and defensive depth. The weakness of the Ottawa Senators is their power play and their goaltending. Another up-and-coming team in the Atlantic Division will be the Buffalo Sabres. This is a team that a lot of people pick to possibly make the playoffs. However, they just have too much inexperience on the roster, and the goalie situation is too uncertain. They already have a great young core which features Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins, Alex Tuck, Rasmus Dahlin, and Owen Power. They also have some nice supporting pieces such as Jeff Skinner, Victor Olofsson, Casey Mittelstedt, JJ Paterka, and Peyton Krebs. To shore up their defense, the Sabres signed Connor Clifton and Eric Johnson in free agency. These are two huge signings because they both have playoff experience and they will help mentor their young players. Right now, Devon Levi is penciled in as the number one goalie, with Eric Hamri as the backup. But don't be surprised if Jukka-Pekka Luukkonen, as he has shown that he is capable of playing a 1B or 1A role. It also would not shock me if the Sabres roll three goalies this year, as neither goalie has proven that they can be a workhorse goalie yet. The strength of the Buffalo Sabres is their young core, and the weakness of the Buffalo Sabres is the uncertainty in net and inexperience. While it's possible for the Detroit Red Wings to make the playoffs, they most likely will not because of how tough it is to make the playoffs in the Atlantic Division. They do have a good young core, which features Dylan Larkin, Lucas Raymond, Alex DeBrincat, and Moritz Seider. They brought in some nice free agents this year, such as JT Compher, Daniel Sprong, Klim Kostin, and Christian Fischer. Adding JT Compher is huge because it pushes Andrew Kopp to a third line. where he excels. Defensively, the Red Wings still have the same first pair from last year with Jake Walman and Moritz Seider. And they will have Olimata playing with Ben Sherratt on the third pair, but their second pair should be completely different. They signed Justin Hall and Shane Gostisbehere in free agency, and you figure they will be paired together on the second pair. Billy Husso and James Reimer will be the goalies for the Red Wings. This is an underwhelming goaltending tandem that may not get the job done if you want to make the playoffs. With the addition of Alex DeBrincat and Shane Gostisbehere, that first power play unit looks really good. And the depth acquisitions makes the second power play unit a lot better too. The strength of the Detroit Red Wings is their power play, their young core, and offensive depth. The weakness of the Detroit Red Wings is their goaltending. The worst team in the Atlantic Division will be the Montreal Canadiens, and I don't think it will be close. Starting in goal, they have Jake Allen, and his backup will be Samuel Montembeault. Neither of them are capable of being NHL caliber starters. Overall, the defense of the Montreal Canadiens is very young and ineffective. Besides the top pair, which is Michael Matheson and David Savard, which should not be a top pair at all. The first line is centered by Nick Suzuki, with Cole Caulfield and Kirby Dach on his wings. Beyond that first line though, the scoring will really drop off. They are planning to roll four lines, as they do have four lines of players that can score, but they don't score a lot. The issue with the Canadiens is that they have a lot of veterans that are paid too much that don't score what they're getting paid to. Guys such as Josh Anderson, Brandon Gallagher, and Mike Hoffman are not producing to what they're getting paid to. If they were not signed to such expensive contracts, they would be traded and a younger, more talented player would take their spot in the lineup. The strength of the Montreal Canadiens is their offensive depth. The weakness of the Montreal Canadiens is their defense and goaltending. Check out my hockey blog at hockeywithtalkshockey.blogspot.com. As if the Carolina Hurricanes weren't good enough, they went out and improved their team with free agent signings such as Dmitry Orlov, Tony DeAngelo, and Michael Bunting. They also retained their goaltending tandem from last year, bringing back Frederick Anderson and Antti Raanta, meaning they will roll out the same trio of goalies from last year. They were also able to lock up Sebastian Aho for 8 more years at $9.8 million per season. Although their offense doesn't look intimidating when you look at it on paper, they can roll 4 lines, and that top 6 can definitely score. Sebastian Aho and Andrei Svechnikov are responsible for a lot of their offensive input, but we saw Martin Natchez come along very nicely last year as he actually led the Carolina Hurricanes in points. The addition of Michael Bunting to the line with Jordan Staal and Jesper Fast will be huge. That line will be really tough to play against. Their defense was already a pain to play against last year, with a top 4 that consists of Jacob Slavin, Brent Burns, Brady Shea, and Brett Pesce. Now you're adding Dmitry Orlov and Tony DeAngelo to it. That is in the running for one of the best decors in the league. If there is any area of concern, it's the health of their goalies, Frederick Anderson and Antti Raanta, as both of these goalies have missed considerable time with injuries. Regardless, this team should still be really good next year. The strength of the Carolina Hurricanes is their offensive and defensive depth. The weakness of the Carolina Hurricanes is their goaltending. The New Jersey Devils are one of the most favored to win the Atlantic Division, but I just can't put them over Carolina yet, as Carolina has a better defense and a more well-rounded team overall. New Jersey definitely has the bigger names though, with their top two lines centered by Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier respectively. Nico Hischier is flanked by Timo Meier and Dawson Mercer, while Jack Hughes is flanked by Jesper Bratt and Tyler Toffoli, whom was acquired in a trade from Calgary. Not only is their top six really good, their third line is also really powerful. They brought back Halla to center the third line. He is flanked by Andre Palat on his left and Alexander Holtz on his right. Michael McLeod and Nathan Bastian were brought back, and they will be joined on the left wing by either Curtis Lazar, Nolan Foote, or the newly signed Thomas Nosek. Jonas Siegenthaler and Dougie Hamilton should be the first pair, with Luke Hughes joining John Marino on the second pair. Kevin Ball will play on the third pair with either Brendan Smith or Colin Miller. But do not be surprised if a young defenseman out of camp, such as Simone Nemec or Seamus Casey, challenge for that spot. As of right now, the goalies for the Devils will be Vitek Vanecek and Akira Schmid. This was a really good tandem in the regular season, but it fell apart in the postseason. The strength of the New Jersey Devils is their top 6 offensive depth and scoring from the back end. The weakness of the Devils is their goaltending. The New York Rangers should be the third best team in the Metropolitan Division. Just having Igor Shesterkin there as their goalie is going to guarantee them a top 3 finish in the division. They also brought in Jonathan Quick to back him up. He is a pretty good insurance policy. The Rangers have the same top 4 as last year, with Adam Fox paired with Ryan Lindgren and Jacob Trouba paired with Keandre Miller. Braden Schneider is paired with Erik Gustafsson as of right now, but that is still subject to change as the season goes on. The Rangers lost both Patrick Kane and Vladimir Tarasenko in free agency, so they're planning to push up Kaapo Kakko to the top line with Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad, and they signed Blake Wheeler to play on the second line with Artemi Panarin and Vincent Trocheck. Filip Hedl centers a line with Alexi Lafreniere on his left and Jimmy Vesey on his right. The Rangers also signed two Wiley veterans and Nick Bonino and Tyler Pitlick to play with Barclay Goodrow on the fourth line. Are the Rangers as good as last season? No, but the Rangers should still be a really good team that should make the playoffs. The strength for the New York Rangers is their core players and goaltending. The weakness of the New York Rangers is their right wing depth. While this team may not look that impressive on paper, the New York Islanders should still be good enough to be a wildcard team. The reason being Ilya Sorokin. Ilya Sorokin single-handedly carried the Islanders to a playoff berth. There's no reason he can't do that again this year. The Islanders also brought back Semyon Varlamov as well to tandem with him, so they'll have the same goalie tandem as last year. The defense is really good. The Islanders' defensive core is really solid. It features names such as Adam Pellick, Ryan Pulock, Noah Dobson, Alexander Romanov, Scott Mayfield, and Sebastian Aho. None of these names really stand out at you, but they all play really solid defense. Their core forwards will be Bo Horvat, Matthew Barzell, Brock Nelson, and Anders Lee, along with Kyle Palmieri and J.G. Pageau. Not to mention the most consistent and possibly best fourth line in the NHL, which is centered by Casey Cizikas, with Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck on his wings. The Islanders aren't flashy, but they get the job done. The strength for the New York Islanders is goaltending and defense. The weakness for the New York Islanders is goal scoring. Barring any changes, the Pittsburgh Penguins will be the fifth best team in the Metropolitan Division. They still have the same goalies as last season with Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith, and a third goalie in Alex Nedeljkovic in case of injury. The defense at the moment is kind of underwhelming, with a top four that consists of Chris Letang, Ryan Graves, Jeff Petrie, and Marcus Pedersen, along with Jan Ruda and Pierre-Oliver Joseph as the third pair. The good news is that the Pittsburgh Penguins still have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin on the team. Crosby centers Jake Guentzel and Ricard Raquel, while Evgeny Malkin centers Brian Rust and Riley Smith. To improve their center depth, the Penguins brought in Lars Eller and Noah Achary. Lars Eller centers Mikael Granlund and Jeff Carter, while Achary centers Drew O'Connor and Matt Nieto. Like it was last season, the Penguins' forwards were pretty good, but their defense and goaltending were underwhelming. The strength of the Pittsburgh Penguins is Crosby, Malkin, and Letang, as well as their offensive depth. The weakness of the Pittsburgh Penguins is their defensive depth and goaltending. The Washington Capitals are in the same boat as the Pittsburgh Penguins, with a legendary superstar aging and the Capitals trying to go all in for another playoff run. Ovechkin is still centered by Evgeny Kuznetsov, and he's joined by Tom Wilson on that right wing. The good news for Washington is that Nicklas Backstrom is healthy for the start of the season. He will be joined by another player who was derailed by injuries last season, Max Pacioretty, and TJ Oshie, another player who is often hurt. This would push Dylan Strome to the third line to center Anthony Mantha and Sonny Milano. The decor is much improved from last season if John Carlson can stay healthy. It was very noticeable how much the Capitals missed John Carlson when he was not in the lineup. They should have Rasmus Sandin for the full season. That should help them. Darcy Kemper and Charlie Lindgren are solid goalies, but they're not goalies that can really steal you games. The strength of the Washington Capitals is their power play and offensive depth. The weakness of the Washington Capitals is their goaltending and defense. The Columbus Blue Jackets should do a lot better than most people expect. With Johnny Gaudreau now in his second season with Columbus, he should have a much better season, and they will have to hope that Patrick Laine is healthy the entire season. They'll be joined on the first line by Boone Jenner. Adam Fantilli was the third overall pick in this year's draft. He centers the second line along with Kent Johnson and Kirill Marchenko on his wings. Cole Sillinger was another high pick by the Columbus Blue Jackets. He is joined by Emil Bengtstrom and Jack Roslovic on his wings. The biggest change for the Blue Jackets is on defense, adding two new pieces in Damon Severson and Ivan Provorov. This vastly improves their defense. Severson is going to be paired on the first pair with Zach Werenski, while Ivan Provorov will pair with Andrew Peak. This leaves Eric Gudbranson to pair with Adam Boqvist on the third pair. The biggest X factor in all of this is goaltender Elvis Merzlikins, who had a terrible season last year, but with a much improved defense and an overall better team, you have to expect he has a better season. Same can be said with Daniil Tarasov. With an improved defense and better team in front of him, Tarasov should have a better year. The strength of the Columbus Blue Jackets is their top four and their top six. The weakness of the Columbus Blue Jackets is their offensive depth and goaltending. The Philadelphia Flyers will far and away be the worst team in the Metropolitan Division. And it will be intentional. And they want that to be the case because they want to tank and get the best pick in the draft. Looking at their depth chart, they really don't have that much going for them, with a first line that is centered by Morgan Frost, with Joel Farabee and Owen Tippett on his wings. There is not that much hope for the team. Add in the fact that Sean Couturier and Cam Atkinson may be injured or on long-term IR next season, the offense does not look too promising. Add in the fact that there are circulating rumors that Travis Konechny may get traded. Add in the fact that there are circulating rumors that Travis Konechny, Scott Laughton, Travis Sanheim, and Carter Hart may get moved. It seems possible that Philadelphia is trying to get the worst record in the league. If there is anything to look forward to, it's the young players coming up in the system, providing a glimpse of hope for the future. The strength of the Philadelphia Flyers is their prospect pool. The weakness of the Philadelphia Flyers is everything on the current roster. And now a word from our sponsor. Check out my scouting blog at HockeyWiz777Scouting.com. Listen to my scouting blog podcast on podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/HockeyWiz777Scouting. The Colorado Avalanche should be the best team in the Central Division next year, with really only the Dallas Stars being their main competition. They have the same core players, which features Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Cale Makar. And they added some key players such as Ryan Johansson, Ross Colton, Miles Wood, and Jonathan Drouin. Jonathan Drouin is penciled in as that first line left wing alongside Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. Ryan Johansson is centering the second line with Valeri Nichushkin on his right wing and Arturi Lehkonen on his left wing. Newcomers Ross Colton and Miles Wood will be on the third line with Logan O'Connor. The Avalanche are well known for having the best D-cores in the entire NHL, with an overpowered first pair of Devon Taves and Cale Makar, a second pair of Bowen Byram and Josh Manson. Sam Girard plays on the third pair with Jack Johnson. Alexander Georgiev and Pavel Francouz are the goalies for this year, as their offense and defense is pretty overpowered. If Colorado, for whatever reason, wants to add anyone, they still can, as they have Gabriel Landeskog is on long-term IR for this season, so they still have some cap space to add some players. The strength of the Colorado Avalanche is their top six defensive depth and superstar talent. The weakness for the Colorado Avalanche is their bottom six depth and goaltending. The Dallas Stars should be locked into the second seed in the Central Division, with a dangerous first line which is centered by Roope Hintz, flanked by Jason Robertson and Joe Pavelski on his wings. Evgeny Dadonov returns to the Dallas Stars after a successful stint after being dealt there at the trade deadline. He'll be playing on the second line alongside Wyatt Johnson and Jamie Benn. Tyler Seguin centers the third line with Mason Marchment on his left wing and Matt Duchene, who signed there in free agency, on his right wing. Sam Steele was signed in free agency. He joins a line with Radek Foxa and Ty Dellandrea. That is their fourth line. Outside of Miro Heiskanen, Ryan Suter, and Issa Lindell, names like Thomas Hurley, Yanni Hockingpot, and Nils Lundqvist aren't exactly household names, so they'll really need to prove themselves. The good news for the Dallas Stars is that they have Jake Oettinger in net to bail out that defense. His backup is Scott Wedgwood, who is a serviceable backup. The strength for the Dallas Stars is their offensive depth and goaltending. The weakness for the Dallas Stars is their defense. Although it might not appear like it, the Minnesota Wild are a really good team that should be a top 3 team in the Central Division, due to the fact that that division is really weak now. They are led by Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello, centered by Ryan Hartman on that top line. Joel Eriksson-Ek centers the second line, with Matt Boldy on his left and Marcus Johansson on his right. The third line is really their identity line. Frederick Goudreau centers it, with Marcus Foligno on his left and Brandon Duhaime on his right. But the X factor of this team is really Marco Rossi. He's penciled in as the fourth line center, but has the upside of a first line center. The defense could take a step back without Matt Dumba, but if Brock Faber can step up into a top 4 role, he could be better than what Matt Dumba was for the team last year. Filip Gustavsson and Marc-Andre Fleury are going to be the goalies for the Minnesota Wild. They should split time like they did last year, with Filip Gustavsson getting the majority of the starts. The strength of the Minnesota Wild is their goaltending and offensive depth. The weakness of the Minnesota Wild is their center depth. The Winnipeg Jets are a tough team to predict because this roster could be very different by the start of the season. But I'm doing this preview based on the fact, but I'm doing this preview as if Mark Scheifele and Connor Hellebuyck will be on the team. Assuming Connor Hellebuyck is on the team for the start of the season and not traded, they could be good enough to be the fourth best team in that division and vie for a wild card spot. Laurent Brossoit will be his backup. The defense is the same as last year, with Dylan Sandberg moving up to play on the third pair with Nate Schmidt. Their offensive depth is a lot better than last year. Although they no longer have Blake Wheeler, they still have a good top line, which is centered by Mark Scheifele, with Kyle Connor and Nikolai Ehlers. The Pierre-Luc Dubois trade fetched a pretty good return for Winnipeg, landing Gabriel Vilardi, Alex Iafallo, Rasmus Kupari, and a draft pick. Vilardi will be playing on the right wing alongside Vladislav Namestnikov and Cole Perfetti, while Alex Iafallo will be playing on the third line with Adam Lowry and Nino Niederreiter. Rasmus Kupari centers the fourth line with Mason Appleton and Morgan Barron on his wings. The strength of the Winnipeg Jets is goaltending and offensive depth. The weakness for the Winnipeg Jets is center depth. The Nashville Predators may not look like the best team on paper, but you know every night they will bring their best effort. The reason they will be tough to beat is because of goaltender UC Saros. UC Saros will be the reason why the Nashville Predators remain competitive, and possibly even vie for a playoff spot, despite not having the best overall roster. They also have a pretty good defense as well. They brought in Luke Shen to pair with Roman Josi on that top pair. Tyson Barrie, who was acquired in a package which sent Matthias Ekholm to Edmonton, is paired alongside Ryan McDonough on the second pair. Jeremy Lauzon is paired with Dante Fabro on the third pair. There are three new forwards to the Nashville Predators: Ryan O'Reilly, Gustav Nyquist, and Denis Gurianov. I want to focus on Ryan O'Reilly first. Ryan O'Reilly is one of the best two-way centers in the league. He will be centering a line with Phil Forsberg on his left and Gustav Nyquist on his right. After that top line, the scoring will probably drop off. But again, Nashville has never been a high-scoring team. They have always been a grit and grind team. They have always been a grit and grind team that keeps the games close because of their good defense and great goaltending. The strength of the Nashville Predators is their goaltending and defense. The weakness of the Nashville Predators is their offensive depth. The St. Louis Blues are going through a partial rebuild. While they are good enough possibly to be a playoff team, they most likely won't be because most of the players are inconsistent. Starting with the most concerning part of the team, the goaltending. Jordan Binnington, after the 2019 run, has not been the same goalie. Joel Hafer emerged as a solid goalie last year towards the end of the season. He could challenge him to be the starting goalie for St. Louis. St. Louis has a pretty decent defense with a top four, which consists of Colton Parenko, Justin Falk, Torrey Krug, and Nick Leddy. However, all their defensemen are over the age of 30. Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou are what you would consider the core of the St. Louis Blues. They will be joined by Pavel Buchnevich on that top line. Braden Schenn will center the second line with Brandon Sada on the left wing and Jacob Verana on the right wing. Kevin Hayes, who was acquired in a trade from the Philadelphia Flyers, will center the third line with Jake Neighbors on the left and Sammy Blais on the right. There's too much uncertainty with St. Louis. The strength for the St. Louis Blues is their defense and top six. The weakness for the St. Louis Blues is their goaltending and scoring. The Arizona Coyotes will surprise some people this season. They are quietly assembling a pretty good team, but they more than likely will not make the playoffs. Clayton Keller is obviously the star of the team. He is joined by Barrett Hayton and Nick Schmaltz on his line. The third overall pick in the 2022 draft, Logan Cooley, will be centering the second line. He's flanked by Matthias McKelly on the left and Jason Zucker on the right. Nick Bjugstad was brought back to center of the third line. He'll be joined by Alex Kerfoot on the left and Dylan Gunther on the right. Travis Boyd centers the fourth line with Jack McBain on the left and Lawson Krause on the right. JJ Moser and Victor Soderstrom should be the top pair next year. Juuso Välimäki is paired with Troy Stetcher on the second pair, while Sean Durzi is paired with Josh Brown on the third pair. The goalies are Karel Vejmelka and Connor Ingram, a pretty underrated tandem if you ask me. The strength of the Arizona Coyotes is their offensive depth. The weakness for the Arizona Coyotes is their defense and goaltending. The Chicago Blackhawks will be the worst team in the Central Division. Although they did get Connor Bedard and traded for Taylor Hall, the rest of the team really has nothing going for them. Connor Bedard centers the line with Taylor Hall on his left and Lucas Reichel, another highly touted prospect, on his right. Tyler Johnson is expected to center the second line. It remains to be seen how many games he plays this year. Andreas Athanasiou is joining him on his left wing, and Tyler Radish will play on his right wing. Jason Dickinson centers the third line with Philip Kurashev on the left and Colin Blackwell on the right. Chicago has an entirely new fourth line, which is centered by Ryan Donato, with Corey Perry and Nick Foligno on his wings. The left side of the defense for Chicago is awful. There is not one recognizable name on there. They would have to rely heavily on Seth Jones, Connor Murphy, and Nikita Zaitsev to hold down the fort. Peter Mrazek and Arvid Soderblom should be the goalies. It will be a rough season for them, considering the defense in front of them. The strength for the Chicago Blackhawks is Connor Bedard and their young prospects. The weakness for the Chicago Blackhawks is the left side of their defense and offensive depth. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at HockeyWiz777. The defending Stanley Cup champions, Vegas Golden Knights, are looking to retain their title next year. They traded away Riley Smith to the Pittsburgh Penguins, which freed up the cap space to re-sign Avan Barbashev. He will play on the top line alongside Jack Eichel and Jonathan Marchessault. Chandler Stephenson will retain his second line center role alongside Mark Stone and Brett Howden. William Karlsson will still be the third line center with Mike Amadio and Paul Cotter on his wings. The fourth line, which was huge for them in the playoffs, is centered by Nikolaj Waugh with Keegan Kolesar on his right and Will Carrier on his left. The defense is the same as it was last year. They still have Alex Petrangelo, Shea Theodore, Alec Martinez, Brady McNabb, Zach Whitecloud, and Nicholas Haig. Vegas should have the same goalie tandem as last year with Aiden Hill and Logan Thompson. It'll be interesting to see how they play their goalies in tandem next year. It will also be interesting to see if any of these lines change during the season. The strength for the Vegas Golden Knights is their center depth, defense, and goaltending. The weakness for the Vegas Golden Knights is their left wing depth. The Edmonton Oilers are the second best team in the Pacific Division. They are led, obviously, by Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, arguably the two best players in the entire NHL. Connor McDavid centers a line with Zach Hyman on his left and Connor Brown on his right, while Leon Draisaitl centers a line with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on his left and Evander Kane on his right. The top six of Edmonton gets juggled constantly, so these are subject to change. The bottom six, meanwhile, looks less than flattering. Ryan McLeod, who is still a RFA, is penciled in as the third line center. He is joined by Matthias Janmark and Warren Fogle on his wings. Lane Peterson is penciled in as the fourth line center. He is joined by Derek Ryan and Dylan Holloway on his wings. Edmonton has a decent top four with Darnell Nurse, Matthias Ekholm, Evan Bouchard, and Cody Ceci. Brett Kulak is fixed in as the fifth defenseman. As far as who will be the sixth defenseman remains to be seen. It could be Philip Broberg or it could be Vincent Desharnais. Stuart Skinner and Jack Campbell should be the two goalies for Edmonton. They were a solid tandem in net for Edmonton last year. In the regular season, Edmonton should be fine as they can rely on McDavid and Draisaitl to carry them offensively. The strength of the Edmonton Oilers is their offense and scoring, as well as their power play. The weakness of the Edmonton Oilers is their defense and goaltending. The Los Angeles Kings are going to be a very dangerous team next year. Anze Kopitar centers a line with Quinton Byfield on his left and Adrian Kempe on his right. Pierre-Luc Dubois centers Kevin Fiala on his left and Arthur Kaliev on his right. The line that has not changed is the Philip Deneau line. This line has been together since Deneau signed in LA. The top four of LA's defense is similar to last year, with Drew Doughty, Mikey Anderson, Vladislav Gavrikov, and Matt Roy. But the bottom pair is very different. They'll have two young defensemen with Tobias Barnfot and Brant Clark playing there, at least at the start of the season. If Brant Clark proves he's an NHL caliber defenseman, I expect him to slide up and pair with Vladislav Gavrikov. Phoenix Copley and Cam Talbot are the two goalies for LA. This is a less than flattering goalie tandem and is an area of concern for them. LA is not going to be a very high scoring team. They have to rely on playing a very tight checking game. And if their goalies do not hold up for them, it could be disastrous. The strength of the LA Kings is their center depth and overall offensive depth. The weakness of the LA Kings is their goaltending. The Seattle Kraken should be the fourth best team in the Pacific Division and should be good enough to make a wild card. The first line is centered by Matthew Beniers. He's joined by Jordan Eberle on his right and Jared McCann on his left. Alexander Wennberg centers the second line. He's joined by Jaden Schwartz and Andrei Burakovsky on his wings. Yanni Gourde centers the third line. He is joined by Oliver Bjorkstrand on his right and Ilya Tolvanen on his left. Pierre-Edouard Bellemare and Kaylor Yamamoto will be playing on the fourth line alongside Brandon Tanev, giving Seattle four really solid lines. Along with four really good lines, Seattle also has three really good D pairs. We already know about the good top pair with Vince Dunn and Adam Larson, along with a really underrated second pair with Will Borgen and Jamie Oleksiak. They also signed Brian Dumoulin to pair with Justin Schultz on the third pair. This will give them three legit pairs that they can match against three lines. Their goalies will be Philip Grubauer and Chris Drager, with Joey Decord lurking in the shadows. Grubauer proved in the playoffs that he's still a good NHL caliber starter. Look out for the Seattle Kraken, because they are a really good team that could really surprise some people and maybe even pass LA. The strength of the Seattle Kraken is their overall team depth. The weakness of the Seattle Kraken is that they don't have any superstars. The Vancouver Canucks, on paper, look like a really good team all the time, but in reality, they are a team that is stuck in the middle of nowhere. How well the team really does this year hinges on how well Thatcher Demko performs. As we saw towards the end of last season, when Thatcher Demko played well, the Canucks did well. When he played bad, the Canucks did bad. Quinn Hughes has established himself as one of the premier offensive defensemen in the NHL, but they will need more than Quinn Hughes to chip in offensively. That's why they went out and acquired Philip Pronok from Detroit. With a top four which consists of Quinn Hughes, Carson Soucy, Philip Pronok, and Ian Cole, the top four is looking much better than last year. Tyler Myers is what he is. He is a third pair defenseman who's getting paid a top four salary. Elias Pettersson has established himself as a true elite player in the league, and is one of the true two-way superstars in the league. He is joined by Anthony Beauvillier on the left and Andrei Kuzmenko on the right. JT Miller is centering the second line with Brock Besser on the right and Ilya Mikheyev on the left. The top six looks really good, but then the depth really drops off. Connor Garland plays on the third line right wing, but his center is Teddy Bluger. The fourth line isn't that great either, with Nils Emman centering Dakota Joshua and Vasily Pakolzin. The strength of the Vancouver Canucks is their top six and their goaltending. The weakness of the Vancouver Canucks is their offensive depth. I'm going to do Calgary's preview as if Elias Lindholm, Noah Hanifin, and Mikael Backlund are on the team. But I assume at some point they will get traded. He will be joined by Dylan Dubé on his left and Andrew Mangiapane on his right. Nazem Kadri will be joined by Jonathan Huberdeau on his right and Jacob Pelletier on his left. Mikael Backlund centers the third line with Blake Coleman on his right and Yegor Sharangovich on his left. I can't imagine Connor Zary and Matthew Coronado playing on the fourth line, as Daily Faceoff suggests, but I can see Calgary signing some depth players just to fill out the roster. If Hanifin is not traded, they have a pretty decent top four, with Rasmus Anderson, Noah Hanifin, Mackenzie Weegar, and Chris Tanev. But then the depth drops off. Calgary still has Jacob Markstrom as their number one goalie, but they have Daniel Vladar as a solid backup. The strength of the Calgary Flames is their scoring and offensive depth. The weakness of the Calgary Flames is there's too much uncertainty. The Anaheim Ducks should be a much more improved team from last year. They still have John Gibson in net, and Lucas Dostal is going to back him up. Unfortunately, Gibson is in for a long season, as he has a very young and inexperienced defense in front of him. Only Cam Fowler and Rakko Gudas have more than 2 years of NHL experience. The rest are rookies, or are trying to find their way into the NHL. Their offense is in much better position. Trevor Zegras and Mason McTavish are locked into their top two center roles. Trevor Zegras centers a line with Troy Terry on his right and Adam Henrik on the left, while Mason McTavish centers a line with Ryan Strome on his right and newly signed free agent Alex Killorn on his left. The third line isn't bad either. Isaac Lidström centers a line with Frank Vetrano on his left and Jacob Silverberg on his right. The strength of the Anaheim Ducks team is their young core and offensive depth. The weakness of the Anaheim Ducks team is their defense, and to an extent, goaltending. The San Jose Sharks should be the worst team in the entire NHL, considering they are planning to trade both Logan Couture and Erik Karlsson. But I'm going to do this preview with Logan Couture on the team, because Karlsson made it clear that he's not going to be playing for the team. Looking at the goaltending situation, it does not look promising, with a tandem of Kaapo Kakkonen and Mackenzie Blackwood, two goalies who have never proven themselves as starting goalies in the NHL. They are in for a rough ride this year. Without Erik Karlsson on defense, they all feature names such as Mark-Edward Vlasic, Mario Ferraro, Matt Benning, Radim Simic, and Jacob McDonald. And you have to expect that if you trade Karlsson, you'll also be getting a roster defenseman as well, just as a placeholder. Their top line looks okay. Thomas Hertl centers William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund, although don't expect too much scoring from them. Logan Couture centers the second line with Alexander Barabanov on his left and Anthony Duclair on his right. Jacob Pettersson and Philip Zadina are two new Sharks. They join Nico Sturm on that third line. Kevin LeBanc gets booted to the fourth line, play with Oscar Lindblom and Thomas Bortolo, which is a decent fourth line, but I'm sure you can make better use of Oscar Lindblom and Kevin LeBanc. The strength of the San Jose Sharks is their prospect pool. The weakness for the San Jose Sharks is their defense and scoring. Listen to Hockey Wiz Talks podcast on Podbean and Spotify. Eastern Conference standings predictions. In first place in the Atlantic Division are the Toronto Maple Leafs, followed by the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers. In first place in the Metropolitan Division are the Carolina Hurricanes, followed by the New Jersey Devils and New York Rangers. The New York Islanders hold the first wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference, while the Pittsburgh Penguins hold the second wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference. Missing the playoffs in the Eastern Conference are the Boston Bruins, Washington Capitals, Ottawa Senators, Buffalo Sabres, Detroit Red Wings, Columbus Blue Jackets, Philadelphia Flyers, and Montreal Canadiens. Western Conference standings predictions. In first place in the Central Division are the Colorado Avalanche, followed by the Dallas Stars and Minnesota Wild. In first place in the Pacific Division are the Vegas Golden Knights, followed by the Edmonton Oilers and LA Kings. The Seattle Kraken hold the first wildcard spot in the Western Conference, and the Winnipeg Jets hold a second wildcard spot in the Western Conference. Missing the playoffs in the Western Conference are the Nashville Predators, Vancouver Canucks, Calgary Flames, St. Louis Blues, Arizona Coyotes, Anaheim Ducks, Chicago Blackhawks, and San Jose Sharks. Check out my travel channel at youtube.com/HockeyWithTravels. In my next podcast, I'm going to be talking about rookies to watch out for and breakout players this year.